Good morning, church. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to speak to you all. And what a powerful song that was in the end. It just, I heard the song in the first service, and the words are just so striking. From the beginning to the end, you deserve the glory. You deserve the glory. It's not me who is alive, but Christ is who is alive in me. And that's just powerful. Thank you, Pastor Jack, for giving the opportunity. And when I talk about glory of God, when I look at Blue Ridge Church, when I, you know, it's my fourth or fifth visit to the Blue Ridge Church, I see that glory. You know, a church glorifies God when they are in Christ, or when Christ is in the church. So that's what we're going to talk about today, a church glorifying God, or Jesus being glorified through a church. And we are going to straight away dive into the Word of God. So would you all please stand up with me in respect to the Word of God and open Colossians chapter 4. That's what we're going to look at today. And verse 7 to 17. So Colossians chapter 4, verse 7 to 17. Most of the times these verses with the names, we just, you know, randomly read them and we don't really, you know, think about them and all that. But today we're going to think about some names, and we're going to read some names that I practiced actually so that I could pronounce. So please, if you hear, because in Urdu, the pronunciation is different. That's the language we speak in Pakistan. So the pronunciation is actually different than in English. So I actually had to practice that. So the Word of God says, Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He's a dear brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. I'm sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He's coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. My fellow prisoners, Aristarchus, who sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He's always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he's working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. You all may be seated. Thank you. So today we're going to talk about the church glorifying Christ. The first time I came to Blue Ridge over here, and I still remember it was the early morning, and when I came to the church, the first thing that I noticed was the plaque that says, you know, Blue Ridge Church, and under that the three things were written, and the end, sending servants. And that was like, man, this church is different. The church is not the church's capacity or strength is not measured by the number of chairs or the number of benches that you have, or, you know, the expansion of the building. But according to the word, the strength of a church is measured according to the people who are in Christ, A, and B, how faithful they are in sending servants for God's work. And that's what I saw in Blue Ridge. So you guys are doing a great job glorifying Christ, and you know, that really excites me. But today, according to this text, we're going to talk about three different people that we would see in this context. So this letter was written actually by Paul in about 60 to 61 AD. And the circumstances that he wrote this letter was that really, it was really the need of the day. And it was really the time that he should have done that, and he did that. Although we know that he was chained at that time, we read in the last verse that he was not sitting in a lounge or something and he was, you know, super comfortable writing this letter. He was in pain. But he did write it. The reason was because it was absolutely needed. And the reason it was needed was because in that time, a lot of false teachings were prevalent in that area. And Paul had to address those issues. In the first chapter, he talks about Jesus Christ is the visible form of unseen God, the Father. So Jesus Christ is a visible form of unseen God the Father. The second chapter talks about there is no alternate logic than Jesus Christ. No science, no philosophy, nothing else but Jesus Christ, period. And that was really important. Probably today, you know, in the world that we are living in, a lot of people think, you know, about the alternate sources of maybe comfort or maybe, you know, maybe solving the mysteries and all that. But Paul categorically says no alternative logic except Jesus Christ. In the third chapter, he talks about that Jesus is seen through us today. We as a church, or we as the people of God, we as the people who accept Christ Jesus in our lives, he's seen today through us. We are the visible form of Jesus Christ. And in the fourth chapter, he talks about God's glory is seen through the church when Christ is seen in the church. There are many churches who have huge buildings, but we call them, we don't see that spiritual excitement in them. The reason is because the people don't have Christ in their lives. And when I see the excitement over here at Blue Ridge, you guys are doing a great job. The worship, the people, talking to each other, fellowship, these all develop a hallmark for a good church. And when I look at that, that's what we're going to talk about today, that God's glory is seen in a church when the church is strong in Christ. Another thing that I notice in this letter, and when I read all the letters written by Paul and also the Acts, that there are different names mentioned in the book of Acts and also the letters. About 100 names have been mentioned. And most of the times, although we don't really bother about them and, you know, the family tree and all that, we just read the verses, or most of the times the different difficult words and difficult names, we just skip them. Okay, read from the next verse. But how amazing is the fact that you have the names mentioned in the Word of God. Isn't that beautiful? Today, in this passage that we read today, there are 11 names that are actually mentioned over here. And they have a meaning. They have a reason why they are mentioned. There's a reason Paul actually talks about them. It was not just Paul that randomly mentions them in the Word of God, or he didn't have anything else to write, so he thought, okay, well, put up some names. You know, it was not that. It was really important that he put that. The other thing that I really notice, in the end of every letter, he is actually sending greetings, you know, and he's talking about people. He's not like one of those ministers who would just be in the front, preach the Word of God, then say, okay, I'm getting late, get in the car, leave. He's a friends maker. He's a relationship maker. He's not just a soul saver. He's not just a preacher. He is developing relationships. And those relationships are really important, especially in the church perspective. That's very, very important. So we're going to talk about three kinds of people today that we can find, or we would find, or we find generally in the church, that over there in this passage we see the three kinds of people are those who stayed, those who prayed, and third are those who strayed. Three kinds of people that we see. And we need to, by the end of this sermon, we need to think about ourselves. Where do we fit ourselves in? Are we the ones who stayed? Are we the ones who prayed? Or are we going to be the ones who strayed? So first of all, if we talk about the first people, those who stayed, they're not ordinary people. They were not just the people over there. If we read in the first verses, if we read from verse 7 to 7 onwards and up till the verse 11, we get to know that these were the people who were actually with him and who were a source of comfort for him. We read in the verse 10 that they were a source of comfort for him. The culture that I come from, in our culture, usually when somebody informs someone about or invites somebody for a wedding in the family, especially for the wedding, especially a good thing happening in the family, if they call them, okay, you're invited on the wedding, they're really not happy. Like, you should have come in person. I mean, of course, close relatives. Like, you should have come in person to invite us. You know, and you're just calling me on the phone that, okay, you know, we've got a wedding in the family, you just come over. Probably in this culture, maybe it's acceptable, but over there, people are not happy with this thing. So I could really relate when Paul says, he is coming to tell you that about our situation, about our circumstance, that we are, how we are doing. Brothers and sisters, they were sent to inform about his well-being. Going in person is more valuable than just informing. And these people were not some random people who stayed in the city and they said, oh, you guys are going to that city? Okay, take this letter and just drop it over there. No, they were not that people. They were exclusively sent for the purpose of informing the people over there how Paul was doing and how the brothers were doing, despite being chained. What kind of situation were they in? They were exclusively sent. And these were the people that Paul says they are a source of comfort for me. These words are just amazing. Are we the source of comfort for our church leader? Are we the source of comfort for all leaders today? If you are, be thankful for that and ask God that, God, I want to be a source of encouragement. Sometimes we just think that our encouragement revolves around finances. It's more than that. Today in the morning when I came, I mentioned I got a fresh tomato that I was promised yesterday. It was really special, and I figured out that, and I found out that it was organic tomato. I know in States it's a pretty big thing. So, and I got it as a special gift. In the last few days, you saw pictures up there. So I had my brother Howard, he and I had been riding together. He's like, Dr. Ambrose, what are you doing? Let's go for a ride. You know, it was a source of, and of course, Pastor Jack can relate to it in a much better way. So it's a motorcycle thing. So the thing is, that source of encouragement could be more than just finances. Could be anything. Maybe a good meal. Maybe a good fellowship. Maybe you can ask your pastor, Pastor Jack, I just want to pray. I just want to let you know that you're a blessing for us. I just want to let you know that your family is a blessing for us. How often we, as a people who stayed, probably we're not going out with him. Probably we're not really reaching out to the places with our church leaders. But if you are staying back, be a source of encouragement for them. These three brothers were a source of encouragement for them. And then he talks about, then before I talk about the other people, I actually feel in my life, when I go out in all these villages and brick kilns, and most of the times my family knows that if I'm stranded over there and if the car breaks or something happens, I'm stuck. And literally, like, I'm stuck. I have no way how to get it out and stuff like that. But the thing that really keeps me motivated and the thing that really keeps me, you know, going forward is the prayers. I strongly feel the power of prayers by my family and the hospital and the people like you. I strongly believe you guys pray for us. Those prayers are felt. We as leaders, we as preachers, when we go around and when God uses us, we feel the power of prayers. That is what I want to really tell you about that. Similarly, over here, for him, the encouragement was a source of effectiveness for his ministry. Today, our preachers, our leaders, if you're encouraging them, that's actually a source for their source of effectiveness for the ministry as well. Then he talks about Luke and Nympha. You know, we know that Luke was a doctor, and they were the rich ones. You know, I'm not talking about the missionary doctors, by the way. I'm talking about the other doctors who are believed as, you know, to be making a lot of money. But what it's really worth mentioning over here is that Luke and Nympha were wealthy, but they served the Lord with their wealth. Nympha opened her house to be a church. Probably in today's circumstances, maybe, you know, it might not make a lot of sense to me. But in the circumstances, or in a lot of places, even in Pakistan, and a lot of places around the world, and at those times when the church persecution was at its peak, opening your house, not for some family member, not for some guest to come and dine in and eat and then go, opening your house to be a church, it was a big thing. It was not a small thing. It was like inviting a bundle of hardships for you, or inviting problems for yourself, or inviting, hey, people, you want to kill me? Okay, we have got a list of people over here. You can kill us all. That's what it was like. She opened her house to be the church. That's not a small thing. And she was an encouragement for Paul. She's appreciated for opening the house for the people of God. And we are talking the times of severe persecution. It was very difficult. Where do we stand today? Are we a source of encouragement? Are we the ones who stayed back and are a source of encouragement? Second people, those who prayed. In verse 12, if you see in verse 12, it talks about Epaphras. The word of God says, Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. Always wrestling in prayer for you. I love this. In Urdu translation of the word of God, we have the word that we have in Urdu, which in English it translates as, he struggles for you in prayer. But I like this one better. He wrestles for you in prayer. Why? Because he's feeling weak? Or maybe his family's feeling weak? No. He's always wrestling in prayer for you that you may stand firm in all the will of God. Maybe you like it or you don't like it. He's praying that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. He's a prayer warrior. Sometimes we, when we go through issues in our families, in our personal lives, in our daily interpersonal relationships, or in different matters that we are dealing with, what we do, we try to solve the issues. We try to solve the matters. And once we figure out, okay, we cannot do it, let's pray. That's what happens. We try our best, things don't work out, and then we think, okay, well, you know what, now it's God's work to do. It is the other way around. It's not this way. And over the years, I've been doing the same for a good number of years. I was like, God, I'm doing this, trying to do this. I'm not able to do it. Okay, I pray you solve this for me. But brothers and sisters, I want to tell you that it's just an incredible journey so far in healing journeys due to prayers. Now I'm at a position today when actually I came this time and I was told that, you know, this is what Blue Ridge has already done. I was amazed. I was really amazed. But I'm not saying that I was shocked. The reason is because over the years, God has done amazing things for us. I have more than enough reasons to believe what prayers can do. I have more than enough reasons to just be at a position now that I can just say, God, this is what we are looking at. This is what I'm praying. And I pray that your name be glorified through this. How it's going to happen, who's going to do it, I have no idea. You know, but you're going to do it. And I believe that. It doesn't mean that I'm just being lame or just I'm just sitting in, I'm not doing anything. But, you know, the idea that I want to share with you is praying before we start. Praying before we actually incorporate our ideas. Praying before we even think about conceiving the idea. And praying before we actually get onto something. We often underestimate the prayers. We think, okay, well, you know, we need to do something practically. You know, it's not just about sitting down and praying. But trust me on this, we need prayer warriors in our churches. I've strongly felt the power of prayers. How many of us are actually praying for our people? How many times? Are we the prayer warriors? Are we praying for each other? Or are we just praying for ourselves? How often do we pray for our church? God, we pray that the people in our church stay firm in faith. God, I pray that we don't only stay firm in faith ourselves, but we are able to strengthen others in the city probably or around the world. How often do we pray that? If we are praying that, we need to be thankful for that. But if we are not, then we need to think about it once again. The third people, those who strayed. Verse 14 talks about a person called Demas. He says, our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. In the Word of God, in the New Testament, there are only three times where he's mentioned. Here, and then in Philemon chapter 1, 24th verse, he says, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. So Paul talks about him being a fellow worker. You know? And then in the third one, where we actually get to know who he was and what he did, he was Paul's fellow worker, but then eventually he left. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 10, he talks about, for Demas, because he loved this world, he has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. That's what he did. He actually had a great start. He had a very exciting start, but eventually he deserted. He left. That's what many of our people do as well. Sometimes we have a very striking, very amazing, very exciting kind of start of our spiritual lives. We are so excited. We're like, God, we're going to do anything for you. Wherever you send me, I am going to do that. you know, that super exciting phase in our spiritual lives when we had just accepted Christ Jesus, and then we are like, God, you know, you just throw anything at me and I'm going to be like super cool with that. You know, I often think about what Peter did. You know, Peter just chopped off somebody's ear. You know, that was out of excitement and emotions and all that. After that, what happened? Out of that emotions, when the emotions cooled down, he denied Jesus. Yes, we all know after that, the way Jesus used him, that was super amazing. But what I'm trying to say is that we need to be consistent and persistent with our calling. Each one of us, the moment we accept Christ Jesus in our lives, we need to ask God about the calling. We need to ask, because God has a calling for each one of us. It doesn't necessarily need to be maybe outside the city or outside the country. Maybe God has called you to do small things. Maybe God has just called you to be a prayer warrior in the church. Maybe God has just called you to organize a small meeting in your town, or maybe in your area, and just gather some women and gather some men and start Bible studies. Maybe God has called you for doing something else. Respect and recognize your ministry, what God has called you for. Maybe you're just called to be a helper in the church. People, whatever we are assigned for, we got to stand for that. And we need to focus on that. We are not to leave the work in the middle and just say, okay, bye, we are going. That's what not the spiritual life needs to be like. The Word of God says in verse 17, he says, tell Archippus, see to that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. That's what God's will is for us. We must complete the work we have been assigned. We sometimes start really nicely, but then our end is pretty shady. We don't really follow the will of God, and we just follow our own pattern. We follow our own path. That's what Demas did. Church, I want to challenge you today. Where are we standing? Are we the people who stayed and were the source of encouragement for the leader? Are we the people who are prayer warriors? Or some of us probably are at the brim of, you know, just going downhill. Maybe we know somebody who is turning out to be Demas. If you know somebody like that, you need to pray for that. Because unless, till the time we are in this world, we need to recognize what we are called for. Only then and only then we would be able to say, be able to call ourselves as a church glorifying Christ. So three kinds of people: those who stayed and were a source of encouragement, those who prayed, who wrestled in prayers so that the others may be strengthened in faith, and the third people that we do not want to become, those who strayed. Where are we standing today? If we are standing as a strong Christian, as a strong Christian church, this is the parameter. We need to pray for people. We need to be a source of encouragement. Let's bow down our heads and let's think about that. Let's just focus on, for some time, quietly on the Word of God and think about, where do we stand today? Am I being a source of encouragement? Am I being a prayer warrior? Maybe God is calling me to be a prayer warrior. Maybe I cannot go across the world. Maybe I cannot travel much. Maybe God is just calling me to be in the church and pray and be a prayer warrior. Maybe you know somebody who's just about to go astray. Maybe you need to pray for them. Father God, you are such an awesome God. You are a loving Father, and we thank you for the privilege and for the honor of calling you Father through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who guides us, and thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Thank you for the opportunity that you've given us so that we can proclaim your name around the world and in every single possible way. Father, we pray that you bless us, you bless this church, and you help us to remain steadfast in prayer, not for our own selves only, but also so that others remain steadfast in you, so that others get strengthened in faith. We are indeed living in the ends of times, and we pray, God, that you help us to remain strong in faith. Father, we also pray that this church becomes an encouragement and continues to become an encouragement for not only leadership over here, but also the churches around the world. Father, we also pray that if there are any people in our churches who are going to go astray like Demas, we pray that you help them and you help us to be a support for them. Father, we pray that you help us to complete the job that you have assigned us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.